And welcome to a Thursday here on Speak Out. I'm Kevin Shepherdson. Hi there. How are you doing? And we have guests in our studio today. We have McKnight, and we have Monica Hall, both of them from the Taste of Havasu, which is the program that's coming up on Tuesday next week. And they're going to talk about things, and Cortez Fields is here as well. Hi there, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going? Great.
All right, so let's talk about the Taste of Havasu coming up on Tuesday out at the Rodeo Grounds.
Yes, that is coming up next Tuesday at 5 o'clock. You can come out and have a taste of several restaurants. The restaurants we have this year are the 360 Deli, Chabon's, Cinnabon, College Street Brewhouse, Donut Post, Jimmy John's, Lynn's Little China, McKee's Pub and Grill, Mr. Lemonade, Mudshark Brewery, Nico's Grill and Pub, Rebel Barbecue, Refuge Golf and Country Club, Scoops, Chagrou's Family of Restaurants, Small Cakes, and the Turtle Bar and Grill. And we are serving from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. We will have live music there, too, a live band. Blue Country Band's going to be rocking us out as we're eating out there. And we have wonderful sponsors. Anderson Dealerships are helping us by sponsoring this event, as well as Wells Fargo. The hospital has people that are going to come help us. Wells Fargo always does a good job of helping us set up and clean up and do all of those things. We're going to have a bounce house, and for the kids, we're going to have beer and the music, and then the Wave JTED kids are going to come and help us serve as well some of the good fare we have.
Oh, it's a big party is
big
really
party.
What it amounts to. And not only that, it's going to be lots of good food.
Lots of good
food. I'll tell you what. Now, what's the cost of the tickets?
The tickets cost $20 in advance.
Well, you can't go wrong with that.
Right.
I mean, my goodness.
And you cannot eat everything that they provide for you. Other restaurants are so generous. They give you more than one little taste. They always give you more. And I've tried over the years to go to every single restaurant and eat every single thing. I can't do it. My stomach's not big enough.
It's amazing, isn't
it's
it?
It's amazing.
They'll even give you a cold beer if you want it.
Is that right?
You can actually have a beer, a water, or soda, which is we actually provide one for free, and then those after that, obviously, you would pay for those.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy your tickets. You want to know where?
Oh, that's right. We've got where to get your tickets.
Yes. The Wells Fargo Main Branch. You can buy tickets there. You can buy tickets at the 360 Deli, which is on Acoma. You can buy tickets at Mojave State Bank. Monica has them. At the school district office on Havasu Pie, at Gold Star Engraving, and at the CVB, Convention and Visitors Bureau office. So they have tickets, and tickets for kids age 6 to 12 are $10. Under 5, they don't eat much. We let them come in free.
Okay. That sounds great. Monica, how did you get involved?
Well, I got involved because I really wanted, my son was a teacher at the school, and he's like, Mom, you can help. You can help with this. And so I just volunteered. I've always volunteered, and now I'm actually part of the K-12 Foundation board. So, of course, I will be there the entire time from start to finish.
What the benefit is to the K-12 Foundation, is that right?
Yeah, actually, there's three benefits to, this is really a fundraiser for the K-12 Foundation. We really still feel that it's important that our schools, our kids, our teachers, and the overall schools have the funds that they need. And so one of the biggest things that we do, and we've done it for 16 years now, is we actually provide funds directly to each and every school. We provide, this year we provided $2,000 to the principal, and they use those funds for anything that's really deemed necessary that's not covered in the budget. You never know what comes up. It's just from one thing to another. A principal can have an emergency situation that's not covered under it. They could have supplies that they're going to need. And so this just gives them a little bit of opportunity to cover those emergency needs. Our second goal then is to actually promote STEM. I know that's a big thing around, and I know Cortez is an ASU student, and the importance of STEM nowadays in the education, it's really, we need kids to improve significantly in science and math, and the best way we can do it is to start young. So we go with the grade school kids. We have after-school programs that provide assistance in learning and practicing and figuring out math as well as science. They have science projects. They actually work on. But then they get to actually go to ASU, which is what we also do, is participate in and partner with ASU as far as the STEM, the Olympics. They call them the Math and Science Olympics. And so maybe Cortez can interject a little bit. Have you ever gone there before, Cortez?
Yeah, I've been there a couple times. I actually volunteered for it. I think it's amazing because we have all of these little kids running around our campus trying to win the Olympics, and we have a dedicated group of science majors and professors and just general volunteers. I mean, I'm a business major and I was volunteering for it, but we set up all these great events for them to do related to science, and then there's a giant math competition at the end, which is really interesting to see. I'm not good at math, but those kids are good at math. So
for those who don't know, I mean, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And those are the key areas in which we were lacking somewhat in education. But it's also a way for us, as I said before, to say, you know what, there's something after high school. There's college. So don't just look to graduate from college. Look ahead for your future.
So that's what's it's all going towards, that goal.
Absolutely.
The Taste of Havasu.
Yes.
Show, I guess you could call it.
Yeah. And we have a free ticket. We have a ticket we'd like to give away.
Right. We will do that. You can call this number, 854-5687, 854-CANTR. If you're out there right now and you'd like to go, just give us a call.
We have a ticket. And if you don't get an opportunity to buy your ticket ahead of time, we do have tickets at the gate. You can just come out there and we'll have them however they are, $25 at the gate. And for the kids, they're $15 when you come there. But don't feel like you can't come, because we'll have lots of fun things going on.
Okay. And by the way, again, that's 854-5687, 854-CANTR. What else can we talk about the Taste of Havasu? How did it start anyway?
It started many, many years ago, and I think it was even on Main Street at one time, a long time before Main Street was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then we had it over at the London Bridge Plaza, which was a swap meet for many years. And we just had heard that there was a lot of interest in showcasing our restaurants. And our restaurants are wonderful. They come and they provide all of this food for everybody, free, basically, to help the K-12 Foundation. And so they're really committed to the education of our kids and the education here in Lake Havasu as well.
Okay, folks, we want to hear from you. 854-5687, 854-CANTR. Okay, continue.
Well, what shall we do? Basically, no, we've had a lot of places. The reason it's out at Sarah Park is because the parking was always an issue, and we wanted people to not feel like, oh, where am I going to park, and there's not enough room. And so by having it out there, it's pretty great. We have it at the rodeo grounds. Dub Campbell, prior to that, for just, I think, 1 or 2 years, we actually had it at the Dub Campbell Ranch, and then now we are actually in Sarah Park, so it's fabulous. And Dub Campbell is a wonderful human being who really helps with the community as well.
Well, we do have someone on the phone. Hello, caller.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was calling about the free ticket.
Well, you are a winner.
Yay.
It is a ticket, by the way. It's just a ticket.
Right. Well,
okay.
I have a 5-year-old grandson that would love to go with me.
Okay, and your name is?
Laura Webster.
Laura, I've got your name on them, and we'll have it. I should say it. I'll put it on the ticket, and you're good to go.
Great.
All you have to do is come down to the radio station at any time today or tomorrow and pick them up.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you
for your call. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we got that one. We have another one, so if you're out there and you want to go to the Taste of Havasu and you want to pick up one of those tickets, give us a call.
You know, and the Anderson group out that have all the dealerships, they are so good about helping with everything that's in the community. I mean, we were just very lucky to have them step up again and help us sponsor this. I mean, if it wasn't for some of these great companies in town that help sponsor, I mean, our community is really a community full of giving businesses, and that is just wonderful. And see, that's what you're learning about, is how to be a good business person. And, you know, they are really great. They're very supportive of the education in town.
Now, there's a beer garden out there as well.
Yes, there is.
Who's providing the beer out there?
Mudshark Brewery is.
Okay, I knew it. We had to say something about it.
Yeah.
Mudshark, okay. Excellent.
Yes, and like the 360 Deli is a brand new restaurant in town, and they stepped up right away to help us, so they'll get to showcase everything that they do. And then several of our restaurants are repeat. You know, they do this every year, year after year. Lynn's Little China, the Donut Post. We have a whole line of restaurants that will really fill your sweet tooth.
Well, speaking of sweet tooth, Small Cakes is also what we call a Golden Apple sponsor. So we do have businesses in the community that every month we award one teacher within the school district. They are given the Golden Apple Award, and as a result of that, some of these restaurants like Chagrou's and Small Cakes, they actually come and they actually give them prizes as a recognition to go along with the plaque, and you know, to let them know that they appreciate them as well as the community, the businesses. And Small Cakes is, I'm not sure if this is their first time or not, but they're extremely excited to come, and everybody knows you cannot eat a whole cupcake. They'll probably serving mini ones. Because you just can't eat that whole cupcake.
Now, again, the program is coming up Tuesday, and it's out at the rodeo grounds.
Tuesday the 24th.
Yeah.
And typically it's been part of London Bridge Days that span the whole week long, and so that when we first started doing that, that's when we decided to do that, was we wanted to be part of London Bridge Days.
Well, that's the beginning of next week.
Of next week.
Goes through the weekend with the big parade and all that kind of stuff. Okay, well, we're going to take our first break, so we're going to do that. And by the way, we will give one more ticket away. Give us a call, 854-5687, 854-KNTR. We're on down. Speak Out, brought to you by Patio Paradise, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Sam Shooter's Emporium, Interstate Batteries, Chagrou's Family of Restaurants, Bradley Ford, and Herb's Herbs. And we're back with Monica Hall and Marquita McKnight from the Taste of Havasu program, or show, or party, if you want to call it, out at the Rotary Grounds coming up on Tuesday. And Marquita, we're going to run through those restaurants
again. Okay. The 360 Deli, the Chabones, Cinnabon, College Street Brew House, the Donut Post, Jimmy John's, Lynn's Little China, Mr. Lemonade, Mudshark Brewery, Nico's Grill and Pub, Rebel Barbecue, Refuge Golf and Country Club, Scoops, Chagrou's Family of Restaurants, Small Cakes, and the Turtle Bar and Grill. The other sponsor that's really stepped up that helps us out year after year is Wells Fargo. They really do support us in K-12, and we have one of their employees who is a board member for K-12, so they really have a commitment to the K-12 Foundation and education in town. Don't forget, Tuesday, October 24th from 5 to 8, buy your tickets at Wells Fargo Main Branch, the 360 Deli, Mojave State Bank, the School District Office, Gold Star Engraving, or CVB. And they're $20 and $10 for kids.
And specifically at Sarah Park, it is at the rodeo grounds. And as Marquita said before, we will have live music. I love music, so I will be there for you.
The Blue Country Band.
And I'm actually going to give Cortez a free ticket if he can tell people about a little bit about ASU and the STEM push for STEM within our education system.
Okay.
Wow.
Go for it.
Yeah, I really appreciate this free ticket. Thank you. Well, so at ASU Havasu, we've really been trying to work with the community and especially work with the public school districts in general to help young students not only think about college, but also think of pursuing a future within science and mathematics and engineering. It's a huge focus on our campus. It spreads throughout basically everything. No matter what major you are, you've heard of STEM, and you've probably worked with STEM at least one point. Right now, the entire nation has a need for people who are math and science majors. So this event, this Taste of Havasu, first off, it sounds pretty cool. I don't know about you guys, but getting to eat food for 3 hours for $20, maybe it's the college student in me, but I'm
don't
down.
Eat the baby. Yeah. No ramen noodles.
I'm hoping that you can improve on Marquita, what she does, and you can actually go to every one of them and test.
Yeah. Can you beat my record?
Probably. You know, we're always hungry as college students. I'll see how many I can get to go. But this is a really simple event to go to fund an initiative that's on par with programs that are in larger cities. Because typically fundraisers and attention brought to STEM, it's low on the national level. We know we need it, but are we doing anything about it? And I think this Taste of Havasu is a great way to do something about a problem that is pretty important in our national society.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for having us.
Well, Marquita, we appreciate you, I tell you what. And Monica, way to go.
Well, thank you.
Glad to have you on here. And, of course, Cortez, you're going to stick around, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to bring in Brian in just a few minutes. Brian Springberg will be back right after we take this break here, okay? And we're back on Speak Out here on this Thursday, and we've got Brian Springberg here, our certified financial planner. Brian, we're trying to give away tickets today.
To what?
We've got tickets for Symphonic Winds on Sunday.
Cool, our own little local symphony, actually.
That's right. And we have the Taste of Havasu. We'll have that. And
awesome
we have
cause.
An band for the Run to the Sun.
Lots going on. Well, the weather changes. Everybody kind of loses
that's
their
right.
mind, gets fall fever around here, and there's just tons of activities to go enjoy.
That's for sure.
Yeah, my backyard's starting to come together again. You know, it's funny. It's like you get all excited when summer comes, and you're like, yeah, we're going to have a great time and be in the pool. And then sometime towards the back half of summer, you just kind of say, all right, whatever, and then you kind of blow off your yard. And all of a sudden, it's really nice out in the evenings, and you want your yard to be looking great and so you can enjoy. And that's where we're at. I got friends coming into town. My 30-year high school reunion from
is
Lake
that
Havasu
right?
High School is this weekend. Yeah, crazy, crazy to think about it. It's, you know, these are when you're having the conversations with other business people around town, or police officers or doctors, and, you know, they were born around the time you graduated high school. it is a little bit strange, but it's great. I feel good. And so that's what matters. And the market continues to feel pretty good. Currently relatively flat, maybe down just slightly here in the United States.
But it got over 23,000 yesterday, didn't it?
Hit over the 23,000 mark, first time in history. Currently at 23,138 or so in the Dow. European markets also down slightly today. Although still, you know, everything doing pretty darn well. And those are, that's encouraging. I gave a presentation to a 401k client last night and, just made the joke, I think I mentioned on the show before, it's such a strange job in that when the market's down, the economy's down, people are upset, people are nervous, there's anxiety. And then when the market's doing phenomenally and has been doing for so long, well, then everybody has anxiety because they're afraid, that eventually there's going to be a correction. In fact, 54% of adults surveyed in just August of this year felt that a correction was going to be coming of at least 10% or greater before the end of 2017. I don't know that that's a technical barometer to pin your investment strategies to, but let's face it, it's been a phenomenal run. The U.S. economy has been growing for the last 99 months, meaning no recession. So, you know, quarter by quarter, there's a measurement to see if the economy expanded or the economy shrunk on some level. And for 99 months, there has not been any backtracking. That's a heck of a long time. In fact, the only times that particular mark has been exceeded has happened twice since 1900. So it is, without a doubt, historical economic expansion, albeit very, very slow in the beginning.
Now, isn't today the day that it was the worst market of all time or something like that, about 30 years ago? Was it 30 years ago?
Yeah, certainly not the worst market of all time, but it was a phenomenal blow.
25%?
On this day, just short of that, 20.5%. The market tumbled in a single trading day back in October of 1987. Yes, Black October, as they called it. And
the year you graduated from.
So, yeah. I wonder if there's he's released into the wild.
Interesting.
But actually, the thing about that particular episode is that, you know, computer algorithms and those kinds of things were relatively new to how the stock market functioned back then. And they put triggers in them, meaning that once markets or stock prices hit certain levels, it triggered an automatic sell in computer systems to sell. And so the selling actually spurred panic selling, automated selling. And so the reality was that it really wasn't that big of a deal because when everything was said and done, after a 20.5% drop, October 1987, if you didn't do anything, December 31st of that year, it was even again. It came back. And so it had dropped about 25% in that period of time. And so if you just panicked and said, oh my gosh, I got to get out. And that's one of the lessons to be learned, is that when people say, well, you can just move me out, Brian, out of my portfolio, right, when you see the market falling. No, it does not work that way. Is it going to fall, for one day? Is it going to fall for 6 months? Is it going to fall for 3 years? You don't know. So you position yourselves yourself based upon strategies, based upon risk tolerances, need for access to money, all these things that go into play. And yeah, obviously there's real-time decisions that are made, but you can't just go into it with the mentality of, when it starts going up, I'll get in. Well, is it going to go up for a week and then drop back down 20%? Or I'm just going to get out of it when it starts going down? There's no way to really register how long either a dramatic bull or bear market is going to last, although there is a little bit of assurance that one of the two things are going to happen after an expansion happens for so long, because at some point, obviously, things correct to the norm or the average or the mean from the upside, just like after we went down so far, March of 2009 being the bottom. And since then, we've seen both a phenomenal stock market and economic expansion. And that, when you're coming from those extreme lows or extreme highs, that's really when you start seeing a little bit of change, happen in markets. And what we're seeing right now is not just to the U.S. Like I've mentioned, the global stock market rally has continued. I've been mentioning that to people to consider diversifying for several years. And again, going to my point of, you just don't know exactly when things are going to happen. I was recommending really starting to look at that shift because based upon the very big picture. I was recommending it maybe 9 months before it actually happened. I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I had strong inclinations it was going to. And so was it, the prediction early? Well, yeah, but it wasn't a prediction. It was just a common sense analysis. And all of a sudden, eventually, it did catch up. You know, net profit margins are rising at a rate higher than has been seen in Europe for 7 years now. And that is really stretching to all corners of the planet, meaning that it's, you know, when I say emerging markets, for instance, you think of the big ones, Brazil and China and India, but even real small countries, even in the, you know, the corners of certain places in Africa or small Eastern European countries are really kind of along for the ride as far as what's happening right now. And so you've got to make sure that you're paying attention to not only diversifying because you want to make sure you're in a position for downside risk when it occurs, but also for opportunity to the upside. And, you know, basically, if you think about it, again, these European companies are, you know, it's this expansion is much newer. I mean, in other words, they are in a much earlier stage of expansion than the U.S. And people sometimes don't see that. In other words, if the U.S. has had phenomenal expansion in its stock markets for 5 and 6 and 7 years, and Europe's really only been seeing, you know, kind of spotty growth up until this year where it's been phenomenal, then, in fact, you know, there's less risk and there's a long runway for them to continue to take off on as far as most analysts are concerned. And I'm somebody who certainly believes that to be true. So going back again with my 401k example last night and speaking to the participants and just reminding them, I had somebody come up to me who said, you know, ever since that big downturn in 2008-2009, I quit looking at my statements because I was freaking out. She goes, I finally looked at my statement. She goes, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. She goes, is that really how much money I had in my account? I said, yes, because you left it alone, and the shares you owned that declined so dramatically recovered, and then some. They also had dividends being reinvested the whole time, buying more shares, which continued to rise. And then I asked, and did you keep putting money in? And she goes, I'll admit, I only started putting money in about 5 years ago. That first couple of years when things were bad, I got nervous and I really stopped putting in very much. I said, so now you understand that was the worst thing you could have done, right? In other words, what you just told me is you chose to reduce the amount of money you're investing when the investments you could have bought were at their cheapest. You will probably ever have an opportunity to buy them, which is no different than anything in this life. If you have the opportunity to buy the same thing inexpensively, of course, that is what you're going to want to do. So look at your portfolios now and start focusing on the dramatic increases. If you've got IRAs, 401ks, some kind of retirement plan, then any changes you make are not going to have a tax consequence as long as you leave them invested in those particular vehicles. But you can change the kinds of things that you're invested in and not have a tax consequence. If you instead have money invested in a personal account or in the name of your family trust or something like that, you still need to take a look at making sure that you're not out of whack or out of balance, meaning you may have only been willing to take so much risk, but because the stock markets around the world have done so well, you may be way out of whack, meaning, hey, I only wanted 60% in stocks, and now I have 80% of my money in stocks, so when the correction occurs, you're going to suffer disproportionately more because you have so much risk built into it. The danger in doing that is weighing if you could potentially have a tax consequence. And that is where your financial advisor and your tax professional should be able to coordinate to say, listen, if you sell 50,000 of this, it's not going to cause a capital gain because you've held it over a year and your ordinary income tax bracket's low enough to where it won't cause a capital gain. Or if you do this or you do, it just is a road you go down. And these are sound strategies that, you know, I employ every day to make sure that your properly allocated, and that if we've got to make some changes, have to be sensitive to any tax ramifications that could occur, because taxes, as you all know, eat into not only your income while you're earning, but also, of course, your returns on any of your investments. So you want to pay a close attention to that and make sure that you're doing what you need to be doing. Why? Well, because we're all living so much darn longer. You know, life expectancy at birth for an American has increased just about 7 years over the last 40 years. In other words, life expectancy at birth is increasing by 1 year every 6 years. So, So in 30 years, life expectancy will push 5 years. I wonder where the top end of that is. I don't know. Or when the quality of life is so terrible, who wants to be alive at, you know, 128 or whatever. But what it does mean is, well, what's the number one concern you're going to have if you're living longer, besides your health?
Having enough money that keeps you going.
Have enough money to actually pay your bills and get by. And so the task of financial advisors has gotten increasingly difficult through the years. Again, another client that I was meeting this week with, he and his wife don't have any children. So leaving money behind is not a concern. And so he said, listen, how much can I be pulling out of this? And I said, well, let's start with how much you probably should pull out if you didn't want to touch your principal. And then once you understood that number, let's talk about taking more out and what that would look like, depleting your principal so that ultimately maybe you're able to spend your assets down but not run out of money. And that's not an easy thing to navigate, right? But still, you don't want to, you don't want to pass away with $500,000 in your investment portfolio with, if you don't have anybody to leave it to and you wanted to enjoy and spend, but nor do you want to be 87 and out of assets to spend. So it is definitely a fine line to walk and something that, you know, you have to pay attention to. You know, 15% of our population in this country right now is at least age 65. You know, the highest percentage, of course, is Florida. Now everybody retired. Although I can't believe that's going to stay, unless I guess if you're into hurricanes, yeah, you can. And hurricanes and humidity, whatever floats your boat. Florida has the highest percentage of senior citizens over age 65. Utah, not surprisingly, has the lowest at 11%. And I say not surprisingly because, of course, the Mormon population typically has. And I don't know what the average number of children in the family is. It's average is 5 or something, 6. So you would expect them to have a lower age demographic there. But the country itself at 15%, and that's only going to, of course, increase. So going to be interesting to see how all of this continues to expand from a historical perspective. One of the reasons I always wish I could live longer is because I want to always see what happens. Curious. Well, what's going to happen? So we got to go to our next break. We'll be right back here in just a minute on Speak Out.
And before we go, we want to tell you, we have tickets to give away. I have tickets to the Symphonic Winds coming up on Sunday. I have armbands for the Run to the Sun. I have tickets to the Taste of Havasu coming up on Tuesday. Give me a call, 854-5687, 854-KNTR. Hide it in a hiding place where no one ever goes. And we're back on Speak Out, brought to you by Bradley Chevrolet, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Horizon Community Bank, Connected Computer, making your technology work, Michael Allen Furnishings, and GDK CPA LLC. Okay, we're back with Brian Springburg, and we do have a caller that's calling in.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, did anyone snag up those wristbands?
Yeah, they're all done, but we do have tickets for the Symphonic Winds.
Oh, God, I was thinking about that, too. They're so wonderful to listen to.
All right.
But I think I'm going to be too busy this weekend for that.
All right. Sorry about that, though.
That's okay. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
All right, you too. All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, we're back with Brian. Brian?
Oh, a nice-sounding guy right there.
Yeah, well... All right.
So job openings fell a little bit in the country. So these are available jobs across the country. But there still is over 6 million job openings in the United States listed right now. So it goes, again, to if you want a job, you can get a job. But the question mark is, what kind of job? What is your training? What is your education? What is available? And, you know, there's still somewhat of a disconnect between the skill sets a lot of people have and the requirements that a lot of employers demand. And so it's not just that there's not enough people to work or people aren't interested in working. It's just the right kind of people aren't available for what companies are looking for, which is why recruitment internationally has been such a big deal for companies based out of the United States, in fact. And so, you know, the labor market is, you know, phenomenal. In other words, we're seeing a dramatic change in numbers where, you know, the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits dropped to its lowest level in more than 44 and a half years. So the arguments, the political discussions, all those things that are out there right now are not as focused, in my opinion, as they need to be. In other words, the word jobs isn't enough. It needs to be the right kinds of jobs, because just because unemployment's low doesn't necessarily mean everything's hunky-dory, because we have a huge number of people in the service sector. And the service sector paying, you know, whatever, 10 bucks an hour, 11 bucks an hour, is just not affording people the quality of life that they want. And so the transition that we need to make as a country still remains relevant. But on the whole, a robust and phenomenal job market. We got a call. Let's find out if it's for tickets or a question for me.
Okay. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to bolster what Brian was saying, that when you go to get your car repaired, the cars are getting so technical now that I don't see how they're able to keep find enough technicians to be able to even work on cars anymore. You might have any comments on that. I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, they're like computers.
Truly, and I've kind of talked about that, I know, on the show off and on, and that it's just, I remember being when I was brought up, and okay, you know, here's how you change your oil, and you know, here's how you check your tires, and here's how you change your battery. Now, you can still usually put air on your tires and get away with it.
You can't change your battery.
But even in some cases, you can't, because you have to reprogram the computer, or you have to take steps to make sure that the computer isn't wiped out in certain kinds of vehicles. So some cars, it's not a problem still, but not all of them, because of how it's tied in. It's changing my stereo. I used to just swap out speakers, but now they integrate them into the entire system of it, and so it's not as easy as just changing out speakers in your car, and so mechanics and the training that's required, caller, you're exactly right. It's changed dramatically to where, sure, you still got to be able to understand how to get in to the basic workings of it, but because the diagnostics exist and the computer training required has changed that field dramatically. And it's not just that field, right? It's every field that more and more automation is coming into play. So in some ways, technology replaces workers, but in some cases, it actually opens the door for a different kind of worker who needs to understand how to utilize or service that technology. And there's a ratio happening there. One of the most interesting proposals I've ever heard as of late is some kind of a tax on robots in manufacturing. And so if you're the owner of a manufacturing facility, of course, you're up in arms about that notion. What are you talking about? But let's think about it for a second. Why, maybe at least we should think about it for a second. If you're replacing U.S. workers with robots and technology and automating your systems and putting those people out of work and adding, you know, to a more difficult thing eventually. Now, maybe not right now, but down the road, we're pushing more and more citizens into the service sector, which low-paying jobs, which don't come with benefits or enough money to really save for retirement and things of that nature, then what is the offset to society and what is the offset to, you know, to the structure as a whole? And so it's was it Bill Gates? Somebody that might have been the one who proposed that, of all people. And so it's interesting to kind of see where all of this is going to be going, especially when we're right now in the throes of discussions about tax reform here in this country. You know, tax reform in the United States is something that's gone off and on, you know, forever. In other words, it's been something that's been increased and decreased from almost day one. Well, I guess it was almost just increased from day one. But the bottom line is it ebbs and flows with the economy and with the population and with what political parties in power. And right now, part of the reason why the stock market has some positive vibes is expectations that tax reform is going to occur. And as I explained, stock prices are based on revenue, of, you know, income of these companies. Well, if you're making the same exact amount of money, if your expenses are exactly the same, but you just send in less money in taxes, guess what happens to your revenue and your income? And therefore, guess what happens to your stock price? So the stock market is going to be a huge benefactor, especially of corporate tax reform, and then potentially also, of course, somewhat on individual tax reform if it's reduced, because same thing. If people were working and making the same money, but less of it is going out the door to taxes, then presumably they'll spend more on things that drive up stock prices for the companies that are selling those things. Now, if I had a preference, we would be saving more with those monies. Because the United States, compared to the rest of the developed world, does a lousy job of saving. You know, we're still down in the 3%, 4%, 3.5% savings rate, as opposed to most of China, Japan. You know, they're 10, they're 15% savings rates, and much of the rest of the developed world averages at least double of what we do and how we function here as a society. So those are the kinds of things that I would kind of hope would spill into the consciousness of what people would do with those kinds of dollars to continue to propel us forward. But in the meantime, there is real, honest, great numbers coming through for corporate revenues, and as long as that continues, you're going to continue to see your portfolio prosper. Leading sectors continue to be fairly similar. Technology still the leading sector in the S&P 500, up 31% as a sector. Healthcare number two at 21%. The S&P 500 itself up somewhere around 16%. So with that, we come to the end of another show. Wishing everybody a beautiful weekend. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the car show. Enjoy Symphonic Winds. Enjoy the Taste of Havasu. Support your schools Tuesday. And if you got any questions, give me a shout at the office, 928-855-9421. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you very much, Brian. And once again, we do have those tickets to the Symphonic Winds. You can call 855-9336, 855-9336, and pick them up. Kennedy is up next on KNTR Talk 106.3. Fox News is at the top of the hour. Thanks for listening today. A two-hour speak out tomorrow at the London Sun Car Show. We'll see you there.